ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what a big town! Hey, how we doing? It's the Thursday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. We are going to have a full show for you today, Brian McDonald and myself, right now, as we are really questioning the priorities of certain individuals that normally do this show. And
we got to talk about this, Joel.
Yeah, and the fact that as we try to do our best, and Brian has been working his ass off trying to get the play-by-play guy for the Houston Cougars to join us at some point before the big game on Saturday, even though we were able to get Duke's play-by-play guy. Now the co-host of this show is AWOL, Brian, and he's in San Antonio, we think. We were told, but then right before the show, we get informed that, oh, by the way, there was a power outage in San Antonio in his hotel room. Not the hotel, room, you said.
Yeah, so, there was a text. I'm trying to pull up the timestamp here to get to give you kind of the exact rundown. But he texted me at 2:49, so 11 minutes before the show starts. Power just went out in the hotel. Not sure why. It's a nice day. Which, I'm like, okay, things happen. Maybe there's some maintenance going on. Nothing suspicious there, although the timing is a little weird. And then he texted me back at 2:57. 8 minutes later, 3 minutes before the show starts, so it's only in my room. I have internet, but no Comrex, which is what he uses to connect to the station and talk to us with. So, yeah, like, it, I tend to believe that it's the truth because the lie would be so crazy that, like, it would seem suspicious. Like, if, like, I would buy the power outage thing, right? Even if it was a lie. But if you felt the need to add on the unnecessary detail, oh, well, I was actually only in my room too. Isn't that crazy? Like, that's so unlikely that I believe it's true. But man, damn the timing.
Yeah, he's an honest person. There's no reason to lie here. But it's hard for me to believe that randomly out of all the rooms in what I have to believe is one of the more significant hotels in San Antonio, that his room is the only room. Did he blow it out, like overloading the power source in his room was a bunch of, I doubt it, right?
He just sent us a picture. Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
I know this is an audio visual or an audio medium, so you're not going to get the full context here for the listeners, but maybe we could tweet this out at some point. Actually, I'll do that here when you're talking, but Jeremy texted us a picture from his hotel room. I would say Jeremy doesn't have over-the-top facial expressions.
No.
He claims he likes to emote, but we know better. This might be as close to completely stressed out as I've ever seen him
this
look.
This is either bad gas or diarrhea face that we're getting from Jeremy Branham. It looks, that you're right. He's normally just kind of stone-faced, non-emotional.
I mean, he's a poker player. He doesn't show the emotion. He hides it well, usually.
Yeah.
But he looks stressed out here.
So hopefully he'll join it, get back to us before we have a chance to catch up with the University of Houston play-by-play announcer, which is coming up later in the show. But until we get there, Brian, let's talk about, I think, the best story going, not named the Houston Cougars, in Houston right now. That's your Houston Rockets. And the Houston Rockets took care of business again last night after blowing out the Phoenix Suns in Phoenix, which you're supposed to do. They come back home and blow out the Utah Jazz, which you're supposed to do. They win their 50th game. They win the freaking division, and they have solidified a top six playoff spot in the NBA playoffs. To me, this is the last, icing on the cake to say, I don't even care, based on our conversation yesterday, if they get blown out in a series or not. This team, this year, this season, huge success, and another feather in the cap of Ime Udoka, Rafael Stone, and the Houston Rockets.
Okay. I mean, I guess I'm overall with you, but why would a blowout home or blowout win against the Jazz change your mind from yesterday to today?
Got lots on that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, lay that thought process out for me, but I still would be on the side of if they faced a team I think they should beat, which I know we differ on who those teams are. But for me, it would be, you know, I know the Kings lost last night, so their grip on the final playoff spot is dwindling. But if they were to lose in a playoff series, certainly to the Kings, or get blown out by the Mavericks or the Grizzlies, I would not feel okay. I mean, it would still be a step forward, you know, coming from where they were 2 years ago. But I don't know if I could call this season a great success, and certainly a win over the Jazz, who are trying to lose. Get as many of the ping pong balls as they can for Cooper Flagg. It didn't really change my mind from where we were 24 hours ago.
See, I'll start with this. This is a team in a game that not so long ago lost to the Utah Jazz, lost to the Sacramento Kings, didn't take care of business against teams that you're supposed to take care of, which good teams do, which was giving me a little bit more fuel to my doubting fire of why I wasn't real confident about this Rockets team. What they've subsequently done down the stretch, knowing that this tough stretch was still coming towards them and looking to get as high as they could in the Western Conference standings, is handle their business. And a lot of teams, young teams, inexperienced teams, have a tough time doing that. Or they get into games where it's too close and you play your players too much, or you actually lose the game, which I mentioned two of a couple more games where they slipped up. They handled their business emphatically against the Suns and against the Jazz on the road and at home, and gave them ample opportunities to rest their starters, to kind of coast to victories, get more guys like Reed Sheppard and other guys some playing time, and understand that, hey, now they're going to go down to these final six games where they're going to play better teams, but they've put themselves in the best position they possibly can to get as high as they want in the Western Conference standings.
So yesterday when we were having this similar conversation, correct me where I'm wrong, but you had I think most of the teams that they could possibly face as very live dogs against the Rockets in the first round. I think the only team that you were confidently picking the Rockets against, like without a doubt, was the Kings. Is that correct?
I had concerns. Look, I don't have a ton of confidence in this team to win a playoff.
I'm just trying to see this. So I guess you're separating out what they'll do in the playoffs versus what they've already done. Okay.
So this is back to the initial conversation we had in the last hour of the show yesterday of what constitutes a successful season for the Houston Rockets. Well, you can't win 22 more games than you did a year ago, like you did the first year under Ime Udoka, because then you'd be winning 60 plus games and you'd be unbelievable. So you couldn't do that. But I had this team as a play-in team. So the fact that not only are they not a play-in team, but they're a solidified playoff team, and they win the division, and they win 50 games. Now, I said I didn't think they'd get to 54 when we were starting to throw around that number, and that still is within their grasp. The fact that this is a 50-win basketball team, currently the 2 seed in the West, winners of the Southwest Division, and definitely in the playoffs, to me, that is screaming and yelling success no matter what else happens the rest of the season, because I do have deep concerns about a team that has basically zero playoff experience with the exception of Steven Adams and Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks. I don't believe that this team, because of the fact, like we talked about, doesn't have that solidified Anthony Edwards, by the way, Anthony Davis, who went off last night, as I just get into got teams, but every team that we're talking about within the mix, Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, Kevin Durant, if they're even in it anymore, and then you go up and down the list from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on down, almost every team in the playoffs has at least one, if not two, go-to, just bona fide studs. The Rockets have good players. They have good players that have played well in the regular season. They have Alpi in his first All-Star game this year as a nice kind of feather in his cap. But I don't believe that they have go-to guys. I don't believe they have guys that are proven in crunch time, which, you know, I've been harping on all year. So to me, it's like there's so much to prove. They're so young and inexperienced that just getting to an experience, a 7-game series in the NBA playoffs, no matter how it turns out, I'm still going to be okay with this year.
Okay. Phrasing it that way, be okay with this year, I think puts me firmly on your side here because – yeah, I would probably be on your side of success. Again, my only like small caveat, and it's not like I would kill them if they were to do this, but if they went into the first round and lost to the Kings or got blown out in 5 games by the Mavericks or 5 games by the Clippers, you know, like something like that, Grizzlies, I'd probably include in that as well. I think it's not that I would qualify it as not a success, but I would be disappointed.
Which,
like, it's hard to, at least for me, to reconcile, well, calling it, you know, a disappointment, but then also saying it's a, you know, it's a great success. So I guess that's kind of where the split in my mind goes. But, I mean, obviously winning, going from 41 wins to, I mean, 51 right now. We'll see what happens in their final five games. But at least plus 10, getting, I mean, I think it's a lock at this point. They're going to be a top three seed. I would even say it's close to a lock. They're the number two seed. Doing all that they've done, even if they do flame out in the playoffs, definitely in success. But I would still leave it open for me to call the finish of the season a disappointment if they were to lose quickly to one of the teams I mentioned.
See, here's the other thing, too. You need more definitive answers to the questions of not just Jalen and Şengün, but of all your young players. What roles are they going to fill? How high can they go? How do they handle the playoffs? So that you can understand what your offseason is going to entail. Because the leading candidate still and the favorite to land Kevin Durant is the Houston Rockets. And I think it's 2-1 right now.
They are, I don't remember the exact odds, but I did see odds from BetOnline.
It was 2-1, 2-1 or 3-1.
Yeah, but you're right. They were the odds on favorite according to BetOnline to land Kevin Durant.
So that's telling me in itself.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I did pull it up. It's 2-1. Yep. Next team is the Spurs at 3-1.
So with that said, I look at the Clippers. I mean, I look at the Kings and I say between DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, you have two veterans that can
get
you.
And if they get Sabonis back.
They can get a bucket. If they get Sabonis, they got three guys that can go out and get you a bucket when you need one. I think that the closing thing that I've been harping on all year is what bothers me the most, but I also think that this is a big picture conversation for me. I think the reason why I think this season's already a success is because everything I said was something I didn't expect. Now it's for the big picture. I need to more clearly define, do I really need Kevin Durant, or do I really believe Jalen is still growing, still blossoming, still getting better to be that type of guy like Şengün, same thing. And then who are my other guys that are either going to step up in the playoffs or show that they might not be there yet, which might cause me to look for other things. We know this team needs shooting also. But at the same time, the main thing at the top of the pyramid is I need go-to guys that are clearly defined. I know Jalen and Şengün are capable. I just don't have the same confidence. And you look at the rest of the teams that are going to be in the playoffs, they're go-to guys are clearly defined.
Yeah, and I think that's an answer you can only get in the postseason, especially if it's a flame out against a team. Like if they face the Mavericks or the Grizzlies, certainly the Kings, a lot of these teams that they'd face in the first round, they're going to be heavy favorites in Vegas. And if they were to flame out in five games and one of these guys you mentioned just completely no-shows, like a James Harden playoff series, then you probably have your answer and you know what you need to do. But I do think at times, and I'm willing to let the playoffs play out to give us that answer, but I do think at times we might be overrating having the go-to closer. And it just kind of, as you're talking, it came to mind for me, the similarities maybe between the Rockets and the Cougs, because, I mean, the Cougs have guys like, you know, Cryer and Uzan who can get big buckets when they need to, but they don't have, you know, the 23-point, you know, a game score, the wooden player of the year type score, to where no doubt down the stretch, and Jeremy can obviously correct me if he ever gets on with us, but it doesn't feel like they have that, this is definitely the guy every single time we're in a crunch situation. It's more of they have a collection of, you know, three or four, maybe four or five guys that can get the job done. That's kind of what the Rockets are, you know, the way they're constructed. So, I mean, and obviously the Cougs are in the Final Four. Obviously college game different than the NBA, but I wonder if at times we're overrating the idea of having the, without a doubt, definitive closer.
I don't think so. I don't think so because I've been harping on the fact that for 45 minutes a game for most of the season, they have played a certain style on both ends of the floor and had a lot of success. And in the final 3 to 5 minutes of games down the stretch, they have found a way to pee down their leg and make it either far too interesting and or lose games they should win, because it's not just about clearly defining who one or two guys are. It's about execution, running the offense, making the right play, knocking down shots, no matter who your name wearing a Rockets uniform. And that's where I've also had a lot of issues. They turn the ball over. They go back to isolation. They take bad shots, either with a lot of shot clock or being contested when another shot with another pass could have been an easier make. They do a lot of things to make me uneasy in terms of those closing time minutes, that whether you say we have to clearly define the two guys at the top or not, I just feel like they have a whole lot of work to do to kind of clean things up, to kind of make sure that when in playoff time, when it matters so much more, that they don't make the same kind of mistakes they've made in the regular season.
And I hear you. I mean, obviously you have some results on your side that make that point. Like the game against the Jazz on the road last week got way too close at the end. The same thing, the road game against the Magic. Obviously they lost to the Nuggets without Jokic, you know, not that long ago. So there are certainly moments that are easy to point to. We remember the Cavaliers and Celtics games from earlier in the season where they had big leads and things got close down to the stretch. But I wonder if what you're describing with maybe going more iso ball or turning the ball over, like not playing their style, to me what that describes is more the immaturity of a young team and not so much a guy or a team that has to have the number one closer. Maybe the number one closer fixes everything because you just give him the ball and get out of the way. But a lot of what you're describing to me comes off as the natural immaturity and the need for growth from a team filled with core players that are 23 years old and younger.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't expect them to win the championship this year. So that's why whether they get swept in a playoff series, win a game or two, doesn't matter to me. More, what matters more is we start kind of clearly defining roles and abilities in the playoffs for some of these guys too, so that I know how urgent I should feel about getting a Kevin Durant or a go-to guy as opposed to just adding a couple other veterans, younger, maybe better veterans than what you have currently when you have some money to play with this offseason than what they currently have.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. Like, if they were to flame out, then I probably would go to your side. Like, okay, let's get us a go-to guy, someone that can be that closer down the stretch. But they win a playoff series and show well in the second round, I'd be willing to allow for the possibility of just, you know, the natural progression and maturity level increasing for a young team being the answer more so than we have to add the definitive closer.
So let's continue to discuss this. You guys want to get in on this. 713-780-3776 is the number that you can call or text in as we continue this conversation on the Rockets. Is this season already a success? Would you be okay if they get knocked out in, say, four or five games in the playoffs? Do they need a Kevin Durant? See, because me personally, I don't want Kevin Durant, and I don't think he fits, and I think price matters. But if he's only going to be here for about two more years, I have concerns breaking up or giving up anybody that's currently on this roster. Let us know what you think. Busy show. We're trying to do our best to try and get the play-by-play guy of the Houston Cougars on at some point today to try and talk a little Cougars basketball, getting ready for the Final Four. Lots of Astros conversation to get into as well. You guys can be a part of it. We're, of course, on YouTube. We're, of course, on Twitter. He's Sacked by BMAC. I'm Pac-Man Joel with a K. And Jeremy Branham, at Jeremy Branham, will be joining us hopefully sooner rather than later. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about my good friend Michael Luster, who's got a great new community called River Ranch Dayton. It's an unbelievable spot that allows you, if you're a Houstonian working in the Houston area, downtown and surrounding areas, and you know that the hustle and bustle gets to be too much because of the fact that you're there 5 days a week or more working, and you want an escape route. You want a place where you call home that's going to be a place you can spread out with a three-car garage and a good-sized house and a nice lot that has amenities on property so that you don't have to go anywhere to have a good time, like a phenomenal Angel Lagoon featuring crystal blue water, white sandy beaches, and the opportunity right in your own backyard, literally, to go have a beachfront fun time. Also, they have lots of things like pickleball available, a dog park available, and a fitness center, all for the residents of River Ranch Dayton. River Ranch Dayton is between 20 and 40 minutes outside of Houston, Texas. Not too far away, but just far enough that you can relax and get away from the city life whenever you want to. They're offering a ton of new opportunities right now. 16 new model homes, pricing between the 200s and the 500s. We're going to be broadcasting live from River Ranch Dayton, where you're going to get to see a lot of pictures. But if you're interested in checking out what that kind of lifestyle might be with a beautiful brand new house, contact my friend Michael Luster right now. 870-754-9164. That's 870-754-9164, or visit riverranchdayton.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You found the killer bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
J-Bone is on the road and without power in his room in San Antonio. We hope to catch up with him shortly and get him on the program. But we started off with the Houston Rockets, another big win last night against the Utah Jazz. The Rockets sewing up the Southwest Division title, returning to the playoffs for the first time in a decent amount of time. I think it's like 2000, is it 18, 19 season? I think
no,
it was.
They were in the playoffs in the bubble year.
So 20.
Yeah, yeah. So since, they made the playoffs in the bubble year. The since team 20. With Russ.
So, yeah, a great bounce back from the Steven Silas era.
What's up, guys? How's everybody doing?
What is this music? Is
that's
wrestling?
Still, yeah, it's wrestling, yes.
You don't know who, you don't know whose music this is?
No, Jeremy, I don't watch wrestling.
It's pop culture. You don't even need to be wrestling.
It's fake.
It's the Texas Rattlesnake. It. It's scripted, not fake. Don't
it's
trigger
fake.
Me. Don't trigger Stone me. Cold. Scripted.
Stone Cold stupid.
No, hey, Stone Cold Jeremy. Steve Austin. That's who it is. How y'all doing? Y'all okay?
We're more worried about you. How the hell does that happen that just your room goes powerless?
It was the darnest thing. I was meditating before the show.
Like you do.
Which I often do. I like to meditate before shows. My inner peace. And then as I was meditating, the lights go off. All the lights go off. So I was like, okay, well, maybe they have a timer on them. So I wrap up my meditation. And then I go check to see, you know, what the deal is. And no, the power is completely out. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's probably the hotel, right? Like if my room's out, it's got to be the entire hotel. So I called down there. I was like, hey, is the power of the hotel out? And I assume by the time that I got on the phone, because they have like, you know, the whatever it's called, the what is it called whenever you have the like the phones that can go like to automation and stuff, like a recording?
I don't know, because I was like, so the phone worked even though the electricity was out?
I mean, the phones usually work if electricity's out, but if you get to a call board, the call board needs power. So I got through the call board prompt to get to the front clerk, like the front, the lobby receptionist or whatever. So I knew that at that point it was probably just my room. So I was like, hey, is the power out in the hotel? And she's like, no. I was like, oh, well, it is in my room. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we'll send somebody up there. And they didn't, but it came back on a few minutes ago. So.
Okay.
No promises it's going to stay on. I've never experienced anything like that, where it's just a singular room. Maybe I popped the breaker or something with my meditation. I don't know.
I mean, it's quite possible. I always thought the phone went out when the power went out, but I guess you could have called with your cell phone and got to the front desk.
No, it's a landline.
I know, but I'm saying a landline line in a hotel, I thought that was still would be driven by some need for power.
You don't need power on a landline, do you?
I thought you did. I thought when the power went out in our house growing up.
I think
up,
it's just run by the line.
Yeah,
I always thought growing up, and maybe it's a Wisconsin.
No, because
thing.
that's they always say to have those. Maybe I'm remembering this wrong, but that was a big thing when cell phones became so prevalent for hurricanes here. Is that, you know, in a storm you could still use the landline, but your cell phones would go down.
See, I remember differently that our landline back home also had a separate line that plugged into the wall for power, because So, I mean, I don't know if that was a Midwest thing or what that was, but I always thought you needed power for a landline.
What would you need power for?
I'm not going to get into the inner workings.
We're going to dive way beyond our depth here trying to talk about technology.
Yeah, I don't want to bore people too much, but
Did you need power on a rotary phone?
I mean, I don't know. I don't remember that far back, but I don't know. I mean, I understand that there's like a light on the dial when you used to pick up the handset, but I don't know.
Maybe you just had a special phone. I don't know. Barkley saw Branham with a big girl from San Antonio. That's why he is late. That's not my style. No, I took pictures of me being here by my computer and in my room in my Comrex without any lights. So I have receipts. Texture Blankers probably had a cordless phone that you had to plug in. Was it a cordless phone?
No.
No? Oh, okay. Well, that ruins that theory.
Yeah.
Stone Cold what? Watch your mouth. It's the Rattlesnake. Texture, if we're talking immaturity, then we got to move Jalen Green ASAP. Can't see him growing in that aspect. Go the route of the Astros. The Astros, it's the darnest thing. They play at 6:05 again today.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, can't see him growing in that aspect. Go the route of the Astros. Move players to the top of their game for even younger players to develop. I don't think Jalen Green's immature. Do you think Jalen Green's immature?
I think he's matured quite a bit. I think that we've seen his maturity levels go way up in the last year and a half, and you know, well, at a certain point we can get into it. But, I mean, he was talking about how maybe he was extremely immature under Silas. I think that he's matured greatly under Udoka.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything that speaks to his immaturity. Like, Ime loves him. Like, if Ime loves you, that means that you're a hard worker and that you're a pro. I don't think that Texter knows what he's talking about, with all due respect. I agree with both Blankers and BMAC that the season has been a success regardless, but I would be disappointed if they got knocked out in the first round without being competitive, and I don't want Durant either. Kevin Durant screams Barkley and Pippen. Rockets are a matchup headache. They have four closers depending on who is guarding them: Jalen, Amin, Alpi, and Eason. And then successful season, yes. There's room for disappointment, though. Yes, you exceeded expectations, but you're a two seed now. Play like one in the playoffs. I think this season's for sure a success. I would already say it's a success. Mm-hmm. 50 wins. You win the divisional championship, which is a huge, huge deal in the NBA. For me, it's definitely an exceeding expectation situation. No matter what happens in the playoffs, I think it's a successful season. Now, if they were to get like swept in the first round, we're going to have a disappointed feeling. But we're still going to look back at the season as like, okay, this was a step in the right direction.
Yeah, no question about it. And before you joined, I was saying, look, you can't win 22 more games than you did the year before, like you did in Ime's first year. But the things that we're talking, you're a 50-win team. You win the division. You're the number two seed currently in the Western Conference. When before the season, I was saying I thought they'd be in the play-in. So for me, for all those things and the fact that for another year you have another step to go up towards phase two, or whenever they get to this phase two, I think they're at phase two now in terms of what Tillman and Ime and Rafael had been looking to do with this team, because they have won a division. They are a bona fide playoff team now, and they're currently the second best team in the Western Conference, whether you believe that or not. So I think that for all those reasons, it's another successful season no matter what happens once you take your first foray into the uncharted waters for everybody other than maybe the three or four veterans they have on this team of experiencing what playoff basketball is, because it is different and it is at a different level in terms, and mistakes mean more and everything's magnified. But I think that you're going to learn from that as well. So I think it's a huge success.
Yeah. I think I pegged the Rockets season. Like, I think I had them just above 50 games. Now, second seed, I didn't have them as a second seed. But I thought they were going to be a playoff team this year. Like, I remember having the conversation. Like, I'm a homer, so you have to kind of take that with a grain of salt. But this team just has so much talent. Like, they're a very talented team. When you roll out Jalen, Alpi, Amin, Tari, Jabari, you throw in a couple of veterans in there like Van Vliet and Brooks, who's having a good season, Steven Adams, that's a talented team. Like, mm-hmm. They won 50 games. That's no surprise. That they're a second seed in the Western Conference, that might be where the surprise lies. Like, oh, how are they going to be that high in this stacked Western Conference? But in my mind, it's no surprise that they're good. They're well coached. They have tons of talent. I don't think we should be surprised that they won 50 games.
I think this soon I am. And that's why I said what I said, and when I predicted them to be a play-in team. I just felt like, look, they were making progress. It was obvious to the eye test to watch this team with the guys you mentioned, and the fact that Udoka he made a difference from the minute he put that R on his sweatshirt and started coaching this team up. And he was exactly what they needed. It's just, to me, the kind of the fact is you won the division. I didn't expect that at all. You're currently the two seed. Never thought in a million years, even if you got into a solid playoff spot, that it would be home court advantage and the second best record in the Western Conference. I expected it down the road because of the young talent that they have. I just didn't expect it this year. So that's why, for me, it's a really kind of a monumental second-year success story for this team as it continues to progress.
713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Texter says, remember the video of Green having fun with his roommate? That was a long time ago.
That was Josh Christopher, wasn't it?
Yeah, they were friends.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago, though. We're talking about his maturity level now. I mean, he's married to, you know, a woman that's 30 years his junior. Like, I think he's done a lot of growing. He's got two kids now, maybe two, maybe more. I think he's grown up a lot since those
days.
He's
no Anthony Edwards, but he's got a
couple. Of course, playing with Josh Christopher. Texture Green would thrive on a team with KD on it. Durant would take the closing pressure off of Green. I like the idea of Durant on this team. Now, price is where it's like, okay, what are you giving up? I don't want to give up too much for Durant, but Durant would be helpful to this Rockets team. But let's see how it goes in the playoffs first.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, I always harp on, too, price matters. Phoenix is their eye and their picks, and they want them back. And you are in the position of not having to give them back and give up too much. And the market's going to matter, too, because I'm curious what other teams are going to give up close to or have the resources to give up what the Rockets have, especially since the Rockets are sitting on their picks for the next 3 years. So I think they're in a really good position. But as I said, I don't want to give up some of the core players we've been talking about, one or more of those players, as well as picks, to get 2 or 3 years of Kevin Durant.
713-780-ESPN. Where would the Rockets be without Ime if he wasn't the coach? And then how much credit should Rafael Stone get in this as well? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Being a homeowner comes with a lot of responsibility and a lot of cost. Own Will is here to help you with both of those things. Let them take a little bit off your plate, but also save you money. A lot of homeowners are overpaying on property taxes, and it shouldn't be you. Head to ownwell.com, sign up in less than 3 minutes to get their experts fighting for you. Their cutting-edge technology can start saving you money with no upfront cost. That's right. OwnWell handles it all from start to finish, delivers top results, and you do not pay anything up front. You're only going to pay if you save. You can't beat that. It's all reward. There's no risk. There's zero risk to this. You sign up, they don't save you money, it doesn't cost you a thing. You wasted 3 minutes. Big deal. Now, the reward, what if they save you over $1,000? 86% of OwnWell's customers receive a reduction, with the average customer saving over $1,100. So 3 minutes, potential four-digit savings. What are you waiting for? OwnWell.com. Put your property tax savings back into your pocket. Reinvest it. Take the family on a vacation. Whatever you want to do. I don't care how you spend your money, but save some money. OwnWell levels the playing field, eliminates the concern of paying too much on property tax for the everyday home and property owner like you and me. Deadline to protest is May 15, so don't run out of time. Save money on your property taxes with OwnWell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes. Start that protest today at OwnWell.com. That's OwnWell.com. OwnWell.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Really crazy the Astros play at 6:05 back-to-back days. Really hope that offense gets going today. Talking Rockets, though. Historic Houston Rockets season. First time they're in the playoffs since the bubble year. First time they will host a 2019, so that's good. Before the season, I asked on Mailbag Monday if the Rockets would win 36 games, and we all had a hard time. True, I had the Rockets over ticket. Like, I bet the Rockets to win more than their season total, and their season total, I think, was what, 44?
I thought it was 44.
I want to say.
Yep, I think that sounds right.
Yeah, I had an over, so I don't know what you're talking about there, Texture. Did you have an answering machine? Caller ID?
That's
why you needed the power
both.
On the
we
phone.
We had an answering machine, and then we had the newer ones that the phone company sent with the caller ID.
I think that's what it was then, because the answering machine does need the power.
Maybe so.
So, speaks to that. Conjure up a three-team trade. The Rockets could offer Van Vliet, Whitmore, and a pick in exchange for KD, then offer KD a 2-year extension. See, that's my pipe dream right there. You just said it. Fred Van Vliet, Cam Whitmore, and then a pick or two in exchange for Kevin Durant. That, to me, is my favorite. My favorite way to get Kevin Durant.
I could live with that. You know my feelings on Cam's ability. And my fear is that you trade him away and he just flourishes and matures and goes nuts because the ability's there, that I would like to avoid throwing him into a trade. But I think his agent's probably going to be hot on the phone to get the Rockets to trade him anyway, because he just doesn't fit and can't seem to understand how to play an Ime system.
Yeah, you can't even make the rotation, you know? Like, you have a surplus of young talent. What are you going to do? You're just going to hoard them? Like, you got to do something with them. Otherwise, they're going to play out their contract and they're going to leave for nothing.
As part of hoarding all of the talent that they kept, the one thing that they did was when they traded away one of their veteran players, they ended up getting SGA in the process, and that made everything a hell of a lot easier.
Sure. But, I mean, which young players were they hoarding that weren't playing?
No, OKC wasn't hoarding players that they weren't playing as much as they were trading away all of their veterans and in the process just log jamming picks to try and continue. And then once they got all the picks together, they started to just hang out, you know, to construct the rest of the roster and not worry about having to go outward for a lot of trades. They signed some free agents. Hartenstein was a big one this year. But because of the trade that got rid of, I think it was Westbrook in that trade, or whichever trade it was that got SGA back, was the one that they realized, hey, like we keep asking, is Jalen going to take that next step? Well, they realized in pretty short order that SGA was going to be a star.
Paul George, right? Wasn't it George?
Yeah, there you go. Paul George, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Like the Rockets, though, are going to have to trade a surplus of this young talent. Like they're going to have to, because right now that they have their rotation, Cam Whitmore's not in the rotation, Reed Shepard's not in the rotation. You have a bunch of first-round draft picks that are coming down the pike. Like, you're going to have to do something with that surplus. Otherwise, Cam Whitmore is going to sit the bench. Reed Shepard's going to sit the bench. First-round draft pick's going to sit the bench. You're going to have another first-round draft pick that you're sitting the bench at some point. So you have this surplus of talent that isn't playing, that aren't getting minutes, that in my opinion, you're going to have to package that together to try to get a jump up in talent somewhere. If it's Durant, it's Durant. If it's somebody else. Like, I'm not saying it has to be Durant, but there's going to be a roster crunch on this team where I think it is a necessity for the Rockets to package that surplus to go out and try to get an upgrade somewhere.
Yeah, I think because I don't believe that they have that SGA Kevin Durant type on the roster. Maybe it's just the fact that Kevin Durant at 35 doesn't excite me as much as if there's someone else there that's a younger guy that can kind of fulfill that role. But you're right to an extent. Like,
yeah.
And here's the thing that, you know, I've said it a few times, but I'm starting to – Tari's good, but Tari makes a lot of, like, boneheaded plays down the stretch of games, fouling three-point shooters and just not being aware of certain, you know, key aspects of late game, you know, crunch time execution that I'm going, I like him. I think his defense is fantastic, but I think that he's a guy that, as much as people got enamored with, if there's a move that includes Tari or Jabari, I'm okay with that. I'm a little bullish on the fact that I believe at some point Cam's going to have all the pieces fall into place mentally, and he's going to be a good player.
You would hang on to Cam ahead of Jabari and Tari?
I would like to hang on to Cam. I am not afraid to do what you said in trying to get a go-to guy, give up Tari and or Jabari as part of a package to get said player.
Well, I said young players. I didn't say them specifically. In fact, I mentioned Cam and Reed more than I didn't mention Jabari and Tari.
I think Tari is who he is, and I don't think that Tari is going to be anywhere close to a max player. I think he's a great role player. I think he's a guy that, you know, fits what, if he wants to go get a big money contract, I don't think it's going to end up being here. Jabari, I think he is who he is. I don't see him having star potential. I think that he's a really good role-playing starter or in the role that he's currently playing off the bench, but I don't see him elevating higher than that, like guys he was drafted around, like Banchero and like even Chet. So I'm okay getting rid of those two players in a trade to get a go-to, as part of a package, to get a go-to star, you know, one or two option.
I would trade Cam way before I trade Tari and Jabari. To me, the Rockets need what Jabari and Tari bring to this team. Like, Jabari brings you some rebounding, the ability to defend 3 through 5. He gives you good outside shooting. Don't always love his shot selection. And then Tari's like that, you know, Mario Ellie kind of bulldog off the bench. I agree with your assessment of his play, but to me, you need very good role players to be a very good team. Cam Whitmore can't even crack the rotation. And like, yeah, he can score the basketball. Is he your best scoring option? I think Ime Udoka would tell you no if you injected him with some true serum. So of those three guys, Cam Whitmore is easily the first of those three that I would be shopping.
And I understand that. I'm not saying that. You know, I just don't. Right now, as we always talk about, like, his value couldn't be lower from a Rocket standpoint and around the league, they're looking at him as a bona fide kind of guy that could be treated as a first-round pick, that they could get on the dirt cheap, that they could actually, in a new in a fresh start, new environment, could like maximize what he could be. And that's why I don't want him to be a throw-in. I don't want him to be a guy that you just are going to toss away and then regret it later, going, damn, he turned into be a pretty damn good NBA player, which I, because I think he's got all the tools. He's got size. He's got physicality. He can jump. He can shoot.
Those are just scoring tools, though. Like, he doesn't do anything else.
But Jalen didn't do his first couple years either. Jalen didn't defend. Jalen didn't do the things that he's doing now. That's why I believe that Cam is fixable. I believe that he has the skill set. It's just, like, learning how to be a pro and how to mature and take criticism or understand your role on a team and you're not going to be the man. Those things are fixable. I think that all
the tools
are
there. They haven't
been yet. Right, but they weren't for Jalen early in his career either.
I mean, I don't know. Like, Jalen Green didn't have problems cracking the rotation. Now, the Rockets were in a much different spot.
Right.
Much, much different spot. Like, Cam Whitmore is playing 30 minutes a game, just like Jalen played 30 minutes a game on those years where Steven Silas was around. But even with all that upside and all that potential, he can't crack the rotation. Like, he doesn't play.
Jeremy,
he doesn't play.
And he's his own worst enemy.
And they benched him.
Right, they had to, and not because he doesn't have ability, but because his attitude sucks.
Well, I would say that it is his ability. Not scoring ability, but I would say it's his ability in every other aspect. Ime Udoka cannot trust him on the floor. That's why whenever they came back from the All-Star game, he was out of the rotation. Like, Ime Udoka tells you what he thinks of him by his actions.
Right. I'm just saying they believe that he could play in this league and play at a high level. They believe
just not win, just not help them win
no,
right
they,
now.
They just believe that mentally, his attitude, starting with his attitude, and then a lot of it is also his want to and the aspects, the defensive side, that they can't waste any more time on him. And as much as they think he progresses when they send him down or they really sit him down, the next time that they've gone to him, it's only a matter of time before he does all those things again, and they're a playoff team. They don't have time to screw around with it anymore this year.
Yeah, and I mean, the time's running out on his contract too, his rookie contract. So, like, at what point do you say, okay, let's trade him while he still has some sort of value, or let's keep the project going and then have to make a decision on if we want to pay that guy
running.
Or not?
He's 2 years into what could be 4 or 5 years with this
four.
Team.
Four. They're 2 years. The rookie contracts are 4 years.
Right.
First two are guaranteed. The next two are options. So they have to make a decision on them.
Okay, but from an ability standpoint, they believe that they love what he has to bring to the table. So I don't think that I think they're smart enough that they're not going to pull the plug unless they get a deal for a substantial go-to guy like we're talking about.
And you might be right that they love his potential, but he's got two more years after this year, and right now he is currently unplayable. Unplayable. Ime Udoka stripped him of playing time after the All-Star break because he didn't think he helped them win. And he's been proven right. Like, not because of anything Cam's done, because he just hasn't played, but the Rockets have been winning without him. Let's continue this on the other side. 713-780-ESPN. The Hive has thoughts on it as well. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Blank, Branham, Bees, and the Hype, and Brian. 713-780-ESPN. If Udoka can't fix Cam, which organization can? I don't know, man.
I think there are. See, fix is a tough thing. I think you can write Cam short term. If you get a team that basically gives him what he wants, like gives him a young team that's not going, you know, that's really like bottom feeder that just gets him and says, yeah, you can be one of our go-to guys. You're going to start right away. They're going to give him the basketball because that's all he's ever known. I think that that would appease him and you would get a lot of offense out of him. You'd still get the mistakes and the no defense. But I think that to answer that short term, that's exactly the kind of situation that would allow him to, like, if he was on Brooklyn this year, or if he was on a team that really sucked, or even Charlotte, where they just threw him in the starting lineup and said, here, you're part of the starting lineup, go get yours. I think he could average 15 plus.
I think he would too, and I think he would really enjoy that. But I also think that enables him to, like, never be an all-around player. I think that it would sell him – like, he would have the temporary satisfaction, but I think it would sell him short as a player long-term. Texter, if it wasn't for the success of Jalen Green, Cam Whitmore would be starting. Okay, but you have the success of Jalen Green, and Jalen Green's going to be on this team for a while. So what is more valuable, a backup to Jalen Green or Jabari Smith and Tari Eason? I would argue it's Jabari and Tari. Of those three guys, Blankers, Cam, Jabari, Tari, mm-hmm. How would you rank them as the in order from the most willing you'd be to trade them? So number one, willing to trade them. Three, not willing to trade them.
I think, to me, I'm going to say, oh, man, I'm not a big long-term fan of Jabari either. But I would say that it would probably be Jabari, Cam, Tari.
Okay. Yeah, we agree to disagree there. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you don't like Jabari, though. 6'10", rebounder,
can shoot. It's not that I
don't
like him. It's like, you know, you took him in the top three. I expected him to be – not that I expected him to be, because, quite honestly –
why does it matter where you took him, though? Like, if we're comparing the two players, it's which one helps you more.
I just think I think that he is who he's going to be his whole career. I think that if you keep him, you're just going to keep him till the end of his contract. He's going to seek a bigger deal unless he's willing to take – you know, a lot less than what he could get on the open market or what he thinks he's worth, that he's probably going to go elsewhere. So I think that, to me, you can find guys that can do what he does, maybe to a lesser degree in certain aspects of what you've mentioned, but I think you can find a stretch four that can defend, that can shoot the ball a little bit. I mean, there's younger versions of Jeff Green that are out there every year, and I think that he's a glorified Jeff Green right now.
I think there are guys you could find to sit the bench.
Fine.
If it wasn't for the – oh, we already read that one. I don't know. A lot of teams had a shot at Cam in the draft and passed knowing the talent. Yeah, I mean, that is true. Mm-hmm. Like, he was being projected as a top five pick some places, certainly yep. top 10, and then he slid all the way to 20, which makes you think that kind of the outside, off-the-floor stuff was not great when
the
teams collected
and
intel there.
Yeah, the maturity, I think, matters. And I think that the Villanova coach at the time, without flat-out just – throwing him under the bus, indicated that there were those concerns.
The Rockets are number two in the West. Why do anything? I think it's a valid question.
It is.
From the texture.
But at the same time, Jeremy, I think as much as it's a valid question, I think the answer becomes you have an owner that wants to take it another notch up from phase two. You have an owner that wants to compete for championships. I think you have a coach that wants to compete for championships sooner rather than later. And now that they've gotten this next notch on the belt of solidifying a playoff spot, a home court advantage, and winning the division, I think the next step is how do you get to the point of competing for a title? And right now, that roster as currently constructed, I don't see them getting good enough to win compete for a title.
Yeah, I think this postseason might be like a collecting intel thing. Like, mm-hmm. if they get ousted in the first round, lose like a 5-6 game series, it might be like, okay, we need that player to take us to the phases, like you like to say, like they like to say. Mm-hmm. If you have a run, maybe not even a deep run, like say you go to the Western Conference semis, you play a very competitive 7-game series, they might feel more reluctant to trade from their core. Now, they do have some decisions, like these young players are coming to pay me money type of timelines. Mm-hmm. The rookie options, Fred VanVleet has a club option next year. So they're going to be forced to make decisions no matter their result in the postseason.
I think one thing to consider is that Phoenix pick matters too. So if you don't believe that you want to go Kevin Durant on a short term or having him for a few years, and you don't want to break up the core because you like what you've seen, if the ping pong balls fall your way, Cooper Flagg would be ideal as another guy that could actually possibly be a go-to guy.
That's
eventually.
Super, super
right.
Lofty.
I understand that. That's why, because someone suggested that on the YouTube channel. And it's like, yeah, you got to feel lucky if that's the route you want to go. Now, those young pieces could turn into those picks, Phoenix picks, and the fact that you have one that's going to be really high this year, you would think, could be something that pries a younger version of a go-to superstar-type player or budding superstar-type player to your team that helps
via
you
trade?
More. that's when you'd have to trade. That's when you would trade that pick in combination with maybe a guy we're not even thinking about. That you know, that could be a younger version of a guy that could blossom into one of your top three players.
My bigger, like, I would be okay with Durant. My bigger thing is more just the thought. Like, I do think at some point you're going to have to combine this young surplus of talent that you have and slash picks and use that to trade for an upgrade. Like, it could be Durant, could be some player we've never heard of. It could be Anthony Edwards demanding a trade. That would be awesome. Like, it could be something like that. But at some point, you're going to have to combine your surplus. The Rockets own Phoenix's pick, which right now has a 1.8% chance to be the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
So you got to be really lucky.
Yeah, and I think
really
the other guys
lucky.
In this draft aren't even close to as polished as Cooper Flagg. And so
no.
You're going to be waiting years again to find out what the potential is on a guy like that. So I think that's where, to your point, I totally agree. But I think that also speaks to as good of a young nucleus you have on this roster because of the fact that we're still looking at this team wondering if we have a true superstar amongst the ranks right now, that the trade is something that they are going to have to broach sooner rather than later. That pick helps a lot because it should, because of how high it could be, I think it's going to carry a lot more value for them.
Define
right
high
now.
Though. Like, define high.
Top five-ish?
I mean, there's only an 8.5% chance that it's a top four pick.
Okay. Even if it's a lottery pick, inside the lottery, teams are going to value that at a pretty significant rate.
If they don't move up, it would be the 11th pick.
So that's inside the lottery, and I still think that's where a team that's still trying to just add young pieces is going to go, I'm willing to get out from under a contract and or give up on somebody because I'm just in complete rebuild mode, and that's a pick that I would value. Now, I don't think it would just be that pick. It would have to be more than that, but I think it's a substantial centerpiece to a trade that could get you closer to finding a guy that might fit into your top three.
Yeah, curious to see, like, which players become available this offseason because there's always movement and there's always names that we don't think of right now, April 3rd, that become available in the offseason. Should be fun, but playoffs,
the guy that keeps popping into my head, but it's a guy I don't want, but the situation kind of is what we're talking about, is if, like, LaMelo Ball became available in Charlotte, like, he's young enough to fit with this core. He's at a level that could fit in and be one of your top three players. It's just that I hate his game and I don't want him here. But are there, to your point, are there other guys on other teams like that you could find that could possibly do that? De'Aaron Fox might have been a guy like that because of his age and his abilities. But you just don't know, like you said, which team is going to be willing to pull the plug on a guy like that to try and go into a free, you know, to get into a full rebuild mode.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Playoffs first, though. 713-780-ESPN. Earlier this week, we had the Duke radio guy on. So in an interest of fairness, we're going to have the Cougs radio guy on next. Jeremy Branham joins the Killer Bees when we return. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.